Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Kartik Ghosh, who is a distinguished professor of physics here in the Department of Physics at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Kartik.
Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here to talk to you.
Well, very good. So you are a physicist, but you do a specific kind of work. Talk a little bit about the broader area of your research.
We are basically doing physics, but major thing is, you can say, materials physics. That means it's very important to understand varieties of materials,
right?
Particularly the science aspect, and always as we are a physicist, we try to understand the materials in the physics point of view.
So you'd say like the basic understanding of the materials.
Basic understanding of the materials, yes.
Now, there must be applications because we're all the time trying to look for ways to tie this into everyday life. So what kind of applications are in the things that you do?
Yes, surely I think at the end of the day, right, always what you do, you want to see whether we have applications. And so specifically, I'm focusing on materials, particularly which have applications to energy, then biomedical field, as well as maybe electronic device applications.
So, for example, biomedical stuff. I know you've worked with some of the biologists, and you've worked on what kinds of things?
Yeah, surely we are focusing more on physics point of view, but the application of those materials for biomedical applications, particularly cancer treatment. So that means how the nanomaterials interacts with biomolecules. Particularly, most of the nanomaterials are bad, in a sense, particularly with biological, because it does not get along with, because most of the nanomaterials are inorganic, but biological samples are always organic. So that's why it's very important to understand the interaction between those.
So you take a nanomaterial and what, tag it with some sort of biological molecule?
Yes.
And then what? It goes into the body? That's the goal, at least?
That is the goal. Basically, main goal is to whether, you know, it can be used for the drug delivery, particularly for cancer cell. But to do that, so that is a long way to go before that. So effectively, we do the physics here. So that means we want to see the interaction between nanomaterials and biomolecules. So for example, you know, gold, if you want to take a gold nanoparticles, how it interact with, say, for example, ATP, DNA.
Right, now ATP would be adenosine triphosphate.
Adenotriphosphate.
Right. Which is, of course, the energy-producing molecule for cellular respiration.
Exactly.
Right. And DNA and other kinds of chemicals. Well, who would you work with on this, chemists and biologists?
Yes, surely I work with at MSU, Dr. Wanekawa, and also Dr. DeLong, who was actually professor here right now. He's professor at Kansas State, Manhattan. So we have still active collaborations.
Good.
Very with
good.
Both of them.
Now, one of the things I've noticed about physics departments is that they're very diverse places. I know there's different kinds of diversity, and so people might not be aware of a physics department and what that's like, or the sciences perhaps in general. Talk a little bit about, since you're the graduate coordinator, talk a little bit about the diversity within our department.
Yes, I think we are really working hard to have diversity in our department. In a sense, we are really successful in recruiting international students from all over the world, specifically from Southeast Asia, so for example, Bangladesh, India, Nepal. Then we have also students from Pakistan. Then we have some students from Africa, then China. So I think that's a good thing. So still we are working on more diversity. Specifically, I think we need domestic diversity in a sense, because we have actually less domestic students. So that we need to work with that.
What do you think that is? How do people, for example, in Bangladesh know about Missouri State University?
Oh, yeah. One of the things, really, first, you know, it is called nucleation and growth. The idea is, so first, we got one or two students early 2003. And from that time onwards, again, students actually tell about our, you know, program and all that thing. So that effectively increases the chance of getting students from different places. So that's why I also contact with different universities. all over India as well as Bangladesh, and sometimes maybe, you know, China and Nepal.
So you would say Missouri State has a reputation actually in Bangladesh now?
Oh yeah, it's highly reputed in a sense. Specifically from Bangladesh, top universities, actually we get students from really top universities.
Well, that's very interesting. Kartik, I hate to say this, but we're actually out of time. Thanks so much for stopping by to chat with me today.
Oh, thank you.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.